It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show and what we're going to call Take Your Shot Thursday. If you don't know what that means, I'll explain it a little bit later. It's kind of an offshoot of something that used to happen on Thursdays here on ESPN 97.5, but we don't want to completely rip it off, so we'll just borrow the theme and change the name because now we're just paying homage. We're not stealing. So we'll talk about that a little bit later and give you an example. And it's really about you guys. If you want to call in at any point to take your shot at a person, at a thing, at a team, you can. And, of course, the number is 713-780-3776. But currently, I'm watching ESPN on mute, and they are treating Todd Downing, replacing Nathaniel Hackett as the Jets' offensive play caller, like they're the team site for a college program. And if you don't know, get that. It's like the biggest news that can happen in an offseason beyond signing day for a program is the hiring and firing of a coordinator. That's if the coach has some job security. Of course, if the head coach gets fired, obviously big news. But the hiring and firing of coordinators is big news in college. And ESPN has got everybody out, from Mina Kimes to Dan Orlovsky to Stephen A. and whoever McCourty that is.
One of the McCourty
brothers.
I don't know
which McCourty that is, but it's
one of
them.
One of them should not have gotten into media.
Yeah.
I don't care which one. Decide amongst yourself.
Yeah, one of them should have been like a consultant or something, so we know which one it is at all times who's on our television.
Or they just – it's one – like they just are Devin McCourty or Jason McCourty, but that's both of them on two different networks. So you're just like, this guy just won't stop working.
Yeah.
But it's actually two of them.
Somehow.
It's like The Prestige.
Somehow.
Spoiler.
Somehow McCourty – thanks for that movie that's, I don't know, what, 15 years old now,
yeah.
However old it is now. Somehow a McCourty got a job on – maybe Fox or CBS and also ESPN. But right now, whichever McCourty that is, he's involved, and it's just, hey, the Jets, a 2-3 football team, have demoted a bad play caller to hire a guy a lot of you've never heard of, and it's a full panel discussing it.
I will say First Take has now pivoted the conversation to, is time with Jets putting a stain on Rodgers' legacy?
Oh, okay. How about Aaron Rodgers is putting a stain on Aaron Rodgers' legacy?
That's how you First Take-ify
to make it more substantial as opposed to, well, a team made a coaching move. Okay, cool.
What can we expect out of Todd Downing's offense?
You mean
more motion? Less motion?
How could there be less motion? Aaron Rodgers doesn't want anything to do with motion.
Even post-snap, they don't move.
that's how he changes the game. No one gets with beyond 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and they run their offense that way.
Disorients the defense.
You think that cheap motion stuff the Dolphins are doing last year is crazy. Watch this. Watch this. No one's going anywhere.
It always swings back around, Del. It always swings back around. Now, if you stop, it's like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. They can't see you.
Oh, okay. So Brian Flores would have had more problems because none of the Jets players are moving as opposed to what he did to them in London because they were all moving.
Exactly.
Okay. We'll see what Todd Downing has to provide against the Bills on Monday night. And Aaron Rodgers understood the decision. That's one of the subtitles because, of course, they had to speak to Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers has already gone on McAfee and said, I resent the accusation that anyone thinks I had anything to do with it. Okay, whatever. But they'll see the Bills, and the team that just beat the Bills were the Houston Texans. So we'll get to some news. We know Nico Collins is on IR. That news broke right before the show began yesterday. And we have some numbers for the biggest gain someone other than Nico Collins, I guess gained is the word, through the first 5 weeks. we talk about lack of explosive plays from anyone beyond Nico Collins. Well, the numbers bear that out. We'll get to that in a little bit because they're going to need to find a way to put some juice into this offense. And so far, the candidates beyond Nico haven't been up to the task. So we'll get to that in the next segment. But I did say we would explain what Take Your Shot Thursday is. It's very similar to that segment that was Throw Shade Thursday. But like I said, can't just steal a name.
Same acronym.
It's trademarked. Yeah. I mean, you got to use a T to start it, and then obviously Thursday's involved. But this is an example. This happened yesterday. Of course, Hurricane Milton is pulverizing Florida. Unfortunately, their second hurricane in a matter of weeks. If you've seen what happened to Tropicana Field, you know it's a big deal. Well, somehow a weather reporter decided to throw a stray at an NFL team, and this is an example of what you can provide to the show if you want to take your shot.
You might still be in the eye right now. There's a lot more to go. I think back to, you know, the Atlanta Falcons' first half Super Bowl winner. We know what happened to the second half when the Patriots came back to life. So do not sleep on the second half of Milton. And we're definitely concerned now with this surge.
So that is very meek. But if you're if you're someone who's a Falcons fan just checking out what's going on, you're like, hey, Why are we catching a stray?
I have family in Tampa.
Yeah, I'm just watching to keep track. I'm really concerned about what's going on. You're probably feeling pretty good about your Falcons. You're 3-2.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins looks pretty good.
Mini bye week to enjoy the win.
Yeah, and you're keeping track about what's going on in the southeastern part of the country. And this random reporter's like, hey, don't sleep on like just the Falcons. All right, buddy.
Hey, that was almost – at this point, it's almost a decade ago.
Yeah, what are we doing? Look, Falcon fans will never forget. Kyle Shanahan will never forget. But I don't think they expected to be reminded of it on a Wednesday night while watching weather coverage. So that was a non sequitur, people would say. He pulled that out, took that shot, and the Falcons caught a stray. This is what we're talking about. If you want to take your shot at someone, you can. You can do that throughout the day, well, at least throughout the show. As we move forward. So when we come back, we'll get to some of the lack of explosiveness in this Texans offense beyond Nico Collins. And we'll talk about who may be able to provide something that can kind of make up for the number one wide receiver not being around. And DeMeco Ryans talked about what the Texans have to do to make up for him. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, let's talk about my bookie. And you know what today is? It's Thursday, which means it's the risk-free bet at MyBookie. What does that mean? You go to MyBookie.ag, and if you're an existing customer or you're a new customer, take a look at what you might like. We got Thursday Night Football tonight. We got Major League Baseball as well. We also have the WNBA. If you want to check out the WNBA Finals and you have a lean there, you can do that as well. But there's a big Thursday Night game, 49ers versus the Seahawks. And if you like the Seahawks, put some money down. And you know what happens if you don't win? Nothing. That's what risk-free means at MyBookie. It doesn't cost you anything. But if you win big, cool. So risk-free at MyBookie on Thursdays. And they have other things. They have their loyalty program, which is called MyBookie Plus. The more you bet, the more chances you have to move up and up the tiers and get great prizes. MyBookie's trying to make this a great all-around experience. And remember that promo code BET975. Use that promo code, and they will match up to $1,000 on your deposit. So if you're betting $200, why not just make it $400? Seems pretty simple to me. Go to MyBookie.ag. Remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Texans injury report came out yesterday. Of course, today is the one that's most important, I think. It will likely determine who will be on the field and who won't. We know that Nico Collins won't be. He'll be gone for 4 weeks. He goes on IR. And it was something, at least from the reporting that Aaron Wilson gave us, that they thought no matter what, he wouldn't be available for 3 to 4 weeks. So they just decided, let's just put him on IR. He's not going to make it back, so let's not play the game where he's always questionable or doubtful for the next couple weeks while still on the active roster. So they make the move, and he will recuperate, and we'll see where he is after four games. So how do the Texans replace them? Replace that production and replace the man? Here's DeMeco Ryans on the absence of Nico Collins and what they'll have to do.
Great player, been a great player all year for us, best receiver in the league, but he'll take the time to get healthy. He'll be back for us, so encouraged by that news. He'll be back at some point this season, and it's like always in the NFL, there's always injuries that happen in our game, and it's opportunity for other guys to step up and make the most of their opportunity. That's what the league is about. Great.
DeMeco Ryans yesterday, after the news broke that Nico Collins wouldn't be around. So if we're looking for guys to replace him, the answer is you don't have one. The expectation is that Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs will be enough, but we talked about this, I think, earlier this week when Nico, we were just thinking week to week as far as his hamstring injury. There's a reason he's the number one wide receiver in football. You just don't replace those guys. There's nothing that can be done. You just have to find a way to mitigate his absence. And if you start to look at what the other Texans wide receivers have done as far as explosive plays, Tank Dell's longest play of the year, 23 yards. It matches Dalton Schultz's longest play of 23 yards. Stephon Diggs, his longest play of the year is 28 yards. We know Nico's a deep threat. He's an all-around wide receiver. Where do we suspect that the explosives are going to come from when we look at this group of their top pass catchers, guys who have not done that so far?
I mean, you would think Tank Dell,
because of last year, yeah.
Yeah, because of last year, and there's still some of that chemistry. But Tank Dell's the guy who's probably been, out of the wide receivers, the most disappointing based off of our expectations coming into the year for him. He's the one that seems like it's his role that has shrunk the most, not just with Stephon Diggs coming in, but also Nico Collins breaking out again. Now, last year was a breakout year. This is like a breakout to another level where he's leading the league in receiving yards. So it's something where this is the opportunity for Tank Dell to really, you know, make his mark. And when we're talking about who has a better three wide receivers in the NFL than the Houston Texans, like when one of them goes down, the whole point of having a great trio is that you still have two really good wide receivers. And I think Diggs so far has been what you wanted when you brought him in. I think he's done perfectly fine. He probably needs to step up a little bit, go back to his number one wide receiver days, which was like the first half of last season. It's not like we're asking him to go that far in the time machine. And yeah, Tank Dell needs to finally, you know, make his mark on the 2024 season.
Those are your obvious choices. You hope to get any production you can from whether it be Robert Woods or Hutchinson, whoever it might be that fills in as that third guy. But yeah, it'll be Diggs or Dell who determine how this Texans offense goes in the near future. Now, they did get some good news. Damian Pierce was back at practice. Joe Mixon's still out. The expectation is it looks like the Joe Mixon will not play for another week. So the hip drop tackle still causing him issues. But with Stephon Diggs there, as Sean talked about, the depth of your wide receiver core should be a strength. And DeMeco Ryans feels good. So does C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud was asked yesterday about what the role will be for Stephon Diggs going forward and what it has been. And here's C.J. Stroud from yesterday.
I think he can be great. You know, I definitely think that, you know, he's already a leader, but, you know, you can tell in practice today, he knows, you know, his responsibility now and he goes out. So that's really all of them. You know, everybody got to step up, and even myself included, you know, to pick up the slack where, you know, Nico isn't playing. So definitely just got to hold each other accountable and just be better at that. So definitely he's going to be at the forefront of that.
That speaks to what we've kind of heard since he got here, that he's a leader, which flies in the face of all the talk from outside the city. Anytime Stephon Diggs was brought up, even leading up until this season, inside the season, and certainly leading up to the season, it was about the distractions he could be. And, of course, Josh Allen threw fuel on that fire, although Josh Allen did, oh, I didn't mean it. I wasn't talking about him when he talked about how nice it was to have guys who don't worry about getting the ball so much.
Try throwing a football, Josh Allen.
You know, Stephon Diggs is like, you know what's nice? A guy who can throw an accurate football.
Yeah.
9 for 30. How about that?
Yeah, the new Buffalo wide receivers don't care about their stats, which is really good for them. Because if they cared about their stats, they should be pissed off.
They would be really pissed off. Really, really pissed off after having to go through what they did on Sunday. Jokes aside, Josh Allen, we don't appreciate you saying what you said and then backing off. I would have much rather had you say what you said and go, yeah, I meant it. It's easier because these guys don't complain as much.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been fine with that. The worst part of that entire thing was, no, that's not what I meant. We all know what you meant.
Yeah.
That's why you got that side eye when you guys met up after the game.
It's amazing how often the post-game handshake, like there's always a moment that you can snapshot because a lot of people compared it to the Watson looking at C.J. Stroud after the playoff game against the Browns where, I mean, Watson didn't even play.
Yeah.
But the moment there where you see the, like, oh, man, this guy really, really replaced me here very fast.
And do we really think Deshaun Watson had that thought at all?
I think it was a little bit of like, this used to be my city. Now I'm stinking it up on the Browns.
Not even getting to play.
Yeah. This team is way better when someone else who's not me plays.
Yeah. The snapshot in the moment, who knows? Deshaun Watson probably could have been just thinking about dinner.
Yeah. You should be, well.
I could have said something else, but yeah. I avoided
thinking
it.
Thinking about Instagram.
Well, don't we all? Don't we all think about Instagram?
But then you also had the Caleb Williams.
Well, which was actually a thing. Where?
Well, it actually became.
It became a thing.
The other two, the pictures, I don't
know. We don't know what that was. No. I mean,
it's a social media thing. The Caleb Williams thing was something that, like, they actually talked about on Nick Wright and talked about.
Yeah, it got to all the talk shows on TV. Speaking of that, I started the show looking at the Aaron Rodgers conversation, more so the
first take discussion.
The Nathaniel Hackett being demoted discussion. And I was watching Mina Kimes speak, and Dan Orlovsky put on that really intent listening face.
He's good at that.
I think I'd be very bad at it, like just sitting there waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could master the non-embarrassing listening to the person's face.
Kind of like
listening to this person speak. I don't have that face.
You kind of like with your lower lip, you kind of like, you know.
Or you put on the TV smile while the other person's talking because either you're humored by it or you're just putting on the face that, yes, I'm listening, and what you're saying is not so.
And you don't want to go full AJ Hawk where you're not moving at all,
yeah,
staring at the camera, but you also don't want to like be nodding too much to where it just like
you look like a crazy person.
Yeah, so it's a delicate balance of being on screen while you're not talking.
Yeah, I'd be bad at it. I my face would be twitching. I'd be looking around. I'd be like,
yeah,
I would be making faces to let people know exactly what I'm thinking about what that person's saying.
That's what I would do too. I'd just be kind of like looking around the room because that's what I kind of do here when I'm listening.
Yeah.
Like I'll look up at the TV as you're talking. Like I'm listening. I don't have to look at you to listen.
That's just very true. But staring into that camera and listening,
yeah,
I'd be bad at it. I would need training. I don't know what they're teaching to those guys. I would need a boot camp. Yeah.
Well, you know who's going to go through First Take boot camp coming up?
Shams?
No. Well, Shams probably, but one Cameron Newton.
Oh yeah, that news broke. Cam Newton's been hired as a contributor on First Take.
Can't wait to see what he contributes.
Hats?
Oh, so the hat game on First Take will never be better.
Will he tone down the hats, or will they just get more?
No. What about Cam Newton tells you he'll tone down the hats?
Nothing. I'm just asking questions here.
Okay.
Nothing. I'm just wondering, because there aren't any rules for ex-athletes on that show for the most part. You can just pretty much be whatever. As long as you don't bore Stephen A. Smith, you're good. As long as he thinks you can bring eyes to the television.
Yeah, he's just the emperor and gladiator going thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, yeah, and if you fit what he's looking for, you're good. I think Cam Newton fits the profile. He will say things, and he'll say things that Stephen A. can react to, and I think that's all he's looking for.
Yeah, he can say things amusing into a camera.
Speaking of that, I mentioned Shams. There is reporting on how much he's going to make from ESPN. And if I'm Shams, I'm going to snuff this reporter. I'm snuffing him because
nothing good can come from the number he says.
No, because he compared it to Woj, and it ain't a great number compared to Woj. I'd be like, all right, bro, you didn't have to watch it. We'll talk about that when we come back. Sam's got to snuff this guy.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Shams and Woj were the two big names in NBA news breaking for years. The background is one was a mentor, the other was a protege. They went their separate ways and they went at it while Chris Haynes was off in the distance. Talking to Dame and getting his news that way.
And don't forget Jake Fisher.
Well, of course.
Doing sit-ups somewhere.
Yeah. Always mentioning trade rumors, but yeah. None of them ever really coming to fruition. But sure. There are others in the game, but those two, Shams and Woj, are at the top of the list. Now, Woj has gone on to leave ESPN because he wants to bring the Bonnies back to greatness, help do that. But he's still doing interviews. In fact, he did one this week. Praising and complimenting Shams, although the thought was before that those two weren't seeing eye to eye on things, just part of the business, I guess. But if I'm Shams, I'm going to need John Oren to not mention that I'm making less than half of what Woj was making now that I'm taking his job. Shams, look, it's a lot of money, but Woj was making roughly $7 million per year at ESPN. And while his exact salary isn't known, the reporting suggests that Shams is making less than half. So, I did this blow for blow against you for years. We were back and forth. And sure, a lot of people would probably tell you that Woj was at the top of the game. Woj did it a different way. He got his news from GMs and executives. That's how he broke most of his news. Shams did it with a lot of players and agents. That was kind of the divide between the two, where they got their news from. But I'm making half of what this guy, what the hell's the difference between what I did and what he did? Sometimes I would get it a second or two before him. I would put it on Twitter. Sometimes he would get a second or two before me. That's worth $3.5 million more. Now, you take the job because the ESPN understood you want to be with the worldwide leader. I'm sure there's some pay increases as part of the contract, but I'm going to ask John Oren to not mention I'm taking less than half of what Woj was making when I was doing the exact same job at pretty much the same type of production. I'm half. Shams, value yourself, I think is what they say.
I would really have a lot of trouble with this if I was Shams. And I guess
let's put it to you this way.
The nature of his work makes him more numb to it, but I would just be like, why is John Oren pocket watching?
Yeah,
like,
that too. No, now Shams is a guy who works in a field where he's breaking stories about guys making money and stuff.
All he does is tweet about how much Isaac Okoro is making.
Yeah, he gets those deals, so he can't really get too upset about it. But it's less about what I'm making and more about the designation that, oh, by the way, he's making less than half. If you're going to tell what my salary is, don't tell people what Woj is making.
Yeah,
I don't need the less than half comparison.
I'd be like, what was Woj making when he was 30 or whatever? Because that's the thing. Shams is like
he's a young dude.
31,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I would even still, Woj is getting pay raises, I guess, throughout his time at ESPN. But if I'm doing the same job you're doing, and ESPN, you came to me, why am I making half of what he made? Why don't you just give me what he was making? But I guess maybe Shams wasn't in the type of negotiating. He wasn't in that type of realm where he could pit two organizations against each other for that type of money.
Or ESPN was like,
take it or leave it.
Yeah, we're looking to save some money on this whole thing.
Yeah, and to be fair, we'll just go get Chris Haynes if you keep acting up.
Again, Jake Fisher will do this for a ham sandwich, right?
You and Jake Fisher.
I don't know.
What's your deal?
I like Jake Fisher.
What's your deal with Jake Fisher?
Because he's like the forgotten man in all this.
Very true.
It's the real ones know, Jake Fisher.
Yeah. If you are in NBA news breaking in the mines, if you're battling out in the mines, you know who Jake Fisher is.
Yeah, Jake Fisher. But again, real ones know.
Yeah,
he's like the Tariq Skubal of news break.
Well, that guy's kind of a Cy Young Award winner, a future Cy Young.
Yeah, but before last week, no one knew who he was.
Well, that's not true. Before last week, we didn't know who he was.
No one in Houston knew who he was. And therefore, I would assume most baseball fans do not know who he was.
Well, now we all know, as he is at the forefront of a Tigers team who is one win away from getting to the ALCS. So, yes, a lot of money. But if I'm going to be compared to this guy for all time now, because he taught me the business and now I'm taking over for him, don't put it out there that I took less than half.
Do you think Master Splinter was making double of what Michelangelo and Donatello and the rest of the Ninja Turtles were making?
In pizza?
I guess they didn't really make money.
No, they did it out of the goodness of their superhero hearts, I think. I don't think a giant turtle or a giant rat were getting paid by anyone. The only person who got paid in that
Shredder.
In that venture was like April O'Neil. Because she actually worked for a news organization.
Probably not that much.
Even the dude who wore the hockey mask and somehow skated around the sewer with rollerblades wasn't making any money. What was his name? TJ something? Forgot what his name was.
I thought it was Casey.
Casey Jones, I think. Or is that a football player? I don't remember. But either way.
Probably both.
There weren't many people making money.
Except Shredder.
Shredder was a criminal, so yes.
That's the whole point.
Yes, he was in a criminal venture, so yes, he was probably
Foot
making
Clan
money.
Foot Clan wasn't making any money?
No, they do it for the love of the game.
Yeah, they're kids.
Yeah. So yeah, the turtles were teenagers as well. But I'm going to need you to keep the salaries quiet. That's all. And also,
again, now that I think about it, all Shams does is tweet about how much money basketball players make. I think I'm actually,
but you know what?
I'm going to police his emotions. I don't think he's allowed to be upset about this.
But you know what? He doesn't go in the middle of a tweet compare what I don't know Isaac Okoro is making to
Donovan Mitchell.
Not even Donovan Mitchell. Let's say another Max Strus, another 3-and-D guy. He doesn't make the comp. Well, Max Strus is making $8 million more per year. He doesn't do that.
Aaron Holiday is making way less than his brother Drew Holiday.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. Just if you want to report my salary, just tell people that what I make. Forget what – I don't know if you've heard, but Woj isn't in the game anymore. It doesn't matter what he makes. You know what? I bet you he makes less than me now working at St. Bonaventure. How about that? Report his salary at St. Bonaventure.
Print that, John Oran.
Yeah. Report what he's making now. That's the only thing that matters. He ain't making $3+ a year.
That's the thing about the old days, John Oran.
They're old days. Yeah. What are we doing here? I'm at the top of the mountain. The game is
King
changed.
Kong ain't got... No.
Well, Woj and Chris Haynes ain't got nothing on me. And if this was a bit written by Sean Mapes, Jake Fisher would be involved as well.
No, I mean that'd be come on, Jake.
Yeah,
he'd be Jake.
He would
from training day.
That would be he would be. Jake would be in that car, and
you know I'm surgical with the Jake.
And you would trick Jake into going into some homie's apartment where they're about to shoot you in the bathtub with a shotgun.
Dr. Dre would still be there.
The entire thing would be
a
Training Day remake. It just includes Shams and Jake Fisher. Get that done, Hollywood.
Boom.
You need
idea.
It's a bad idea, but NBA Twitter would love it.
And the Russians that Denzel owes money to. That's Rich Paul and Clutch Sports.
Definitely. Game of Zones. Get it done. Bleacher Report. I don't know what you guys are doing right now. You should be writing this now.
Come on. You're not getting any more Game of Zones, all right? They're done with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to move on to something else. They should do that. They should just flip from Game of Thrones to another property that people care about and just write in NBA storylines into that. What would be next?
I mean, Training Day. We just did it.
That's our idea. They got to pick something else.
You have to do something with a lot of characters.
Harry Potter? Do we want...
There is a show coming back, right? There's a Harry Potter show that's coming.
I don't know that, but I do know that Luka Doncic was tweeting about Outer Banks. I did see that on my timeline.
All right, all right.
He loves himself some Pogues, I guess.
What about the Batman?
That's not bad. Yeah,
there's a Rogues Gallery.
That one fits. That wouldn't be bad. The Batman Robert Pattinson universe wouldn't be a bad one. Okay, I would just ask that if you're going to print my salary, just print my salary.
Also, I like how we have Woj's salary. But it's like still unknown. But it's, trust me, it's way less.
I'm not sure.
Whatever Shams is making is way less. Like, we don't know.
That's the other disrespectful thing. I don't even know what it is, but I can just tell you, it ain't going to be what Woj is making. Yeah. It ain't even going to be close. All right, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah. There was Major League Baseball last night. I didn't watch a lot of it. I just know, and we'll talk about this when we come back. Maybe we'll put this man on washed watch. We did that with Rogers earlier. But Bob Costas caught a lot of heat. I noticed something in one of the clips, that made me think, oh, okay, there's some bias here. Not because of anything that obvious, but it was just like, wait a minute. I don't hear anyone else saying this unless they're calling Yankee games because they're being employed by the Yankees, which he is not right now. And yet he did something that kind of made it obvious, at least to some people, that his rooting interest was in the Yankees. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Bob Costas catching a lot of heat from people who were watching Royals Yankees yesterday. We'll get to that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We're back, and if you want to get in with anything, 713-780-3776 is the phone number. We left, well, at least last segment, we ended last segment with some Bob Costas stuff. Now, Bob Costas is calling the Yankees Royal Series, a series that the Yankees have a chance to advance in. Gurriel is in that series, and is he tied as far as I'm forgetting the stat.
He tied Carlos Correa for 10th all time in postseason hits.
Yeah, Yuli, who's it looked like at one point his career was over as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, and he's found a way back and he's playing for the Royals. And another guy who's trying to make a comeback is Jose Abreu. Saw that news break that he's signing in a lower league and he's just going to try to see if there's something left. I don't know with that one. It felt like the end, but the man loves himself some baseball, so he's going to give it a go again. But Bob Costas, 72 years old, and this may speak to why we're hearing, let's just say, a downgrade from what we've heard from Bob Costas in the past. And it's not made for Twitter. If you're going to be someone who has bad calls in a prominent series, Twitter's going to eat you alive, and that's currently what's happening. I've seen multiple clips questioning whether he's even seeing the game. There's a belief that he's biased against the Yankees. And I asked Sean this during the break. Is there a time where you've heard an announcer say Yanks and they weren't being paid by the Yankees or they weren't a fan of the Yankees? Because we know Todd Callis, he never says Yanks, right? If he's talking about the Yankees, he'll say New York or the Yankees.
Yeah, he'll say the Yankees.
If you are listening to a national broadcast, generally they're going to say the Yankees. When Joe Buck was calling games, did he say the Yanks at any point? I don't remember it. When he was still doing baseball. Now, Bob Costas said Yanks, and that was my first thing, that was my first thought about that. It gives validity to anyone saying they think he's biased. That's the thing a Yankee fan says. They call their team the Yanks. We were trying to find other nicknames for baseball teams. The Halos for the Angels. That one, probably I would shoot you some bail because it's just another way of not saying the Angels.
What if you call the Fish?
That's another one. You can call the Marlins the Fish, and it doesn't have to be something about you being a fan of the team.
Yeah, that's like...
Because I've heard people call the Dolphins the Fish.
Although, yeah, that's like on the line.
Yeah. But Yanks is one I think that's strictly for New York baseball fans.
The Bravos. The Twinkies. No, these are all just like hacky SportsCenter things.
Yeah, it is. The Yanks is specific to, I think, New York fans. But let's hear I have the clip on there, not of him calling them the Yanks, but one of the clips that's going around and people crushing Bob Costas and asking why is he still calling games. I would say he's a staple of postseason baseball, and you want that name attached to your broadcast despite some of the results. Here's Bob Costas yesterday on what he thought was a hit that turned out wasn't a hit.
Line drive, base hit to center field. It was smothered out there. I don't know if it was caught.
It was caught.
Oh, my gosh. What a play.
It wasn't that great of a play. It wasn't like that one's clearly going to get down. It wasn't a line drive.
Yeah, it wasn't a line drive. He said it was a hit basically as the fielder was catching it.
Yes, and did not know that if it was caught or not until his partner. Yeah, it was caught.
It was caught.
Yeah. That's apparently.
By the way, I get that he was just answering the question. Not a great teammate.
No, he left him out the dry there. He hung him out the dry. That's been, I guess, the level of play-by-play that Bob Costas has given to people, and it has been something that has been noticed.
I think the reason the microscope is on him is because he's calling a Yankees series.
Yes, there's people clearly watching because they hate the Yankees and they want them to lose, and of course there's a lot of Yankee fans, so if there is a Yankee series, everyone's going to know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think normally in these postseason series, like, he can hide a little bit.
But they put him on the Yankee series because they wanted the great Bob Costas on the Yankee series.
Yeah. How's that going?
Not well. Not well.
I mean, I guess the other option was Cleveland, Detroit.
And you're not going to waste Costas on Scooble and bullpen games, are you?
Bob Costas. Pitching chaos.
Costas didn't sign up for that.
Pitching chaos.
I've heard that.
Not bullpen games.
Oh, sorry.
When you win, it's pitching chaos. When the Tigers win, it's pitching chaos.
I'm not going to.
When the Tigers lose or whenever anyone else does it, it's a bullpen game.
I'm not buying into that. It's a bullpen game.
The Gritty Kitties.
I'm definitely not saying that ever. The Gritty Kitties. Who started that? Who's trying to push that?
I think Detroit. I think that's what they're calling them.
You've got a – look, Tigers is a relatively generic sports name, but you ain't going to call my team the Kitties.
Motor City Kitties.
Nope. None of that sounds fearsome. I don't care what you put in front of it. You call my team the Kitties, it sounds like we're P-words, actually. Another term for kids.
They are the Pussycats.
To be honest, why don't you just – is that what Tiger fans call their team?
That's the tell to know if
– if you're a real Tiger fan, if you call yourself Pussycats.
I mean, I'm sure plenty of in the past, plenty of Tigers fans have called their team that.
Yeah, I'm sure some unfortunate call-up got called that word in the middle of September as things are going down the drain. Yeah, I'm sure that's happened. But in a complimentary sense, I don't think Tiger fans are calling their team that particular word. But it would fit.
It would.
Not right now. They are playing good baseball. And up 2-1 on the Guardians.
They're the Gritty Kitties right now.
Not doing that. Where did you hear that from?
I think Paul brought it up as, like, that's the nickname that they are calling them locally, like in Detroit. I've seen tweets and stuff.
I'm not saying it's not real. I just wouldn't subscribe to it if I was a Tiger.
You know, when teams go on a crazy run like the Tigers do, they get a nickname. Gritty Kitties.
And Gritty Kitties is
it. Rhymes.
I know. That's I'm
you,
aware.
You caught that,
yeah,
caught
I caught
on to,
I caught on okay. to why people might use it. It does rhyme. It's just not something I would stand for. The Kitties. That's what you get insulted with if your team sucks. You get called the Kitties.
Yeah.
Like when Miami wasn't winning games, which is most of my adult life, they got called the Candy Canes. That was a graphic on ESPN. They can't, because they would lose games that matter. They get called the Candy Canes because anytime they saw an opponent with any juice, they'd lose.
Yeah.
The Gritty Kitties. Well,
Gritty Kitties.
Maybe you can print that and put it on T-shirts when you make it to the World Series.
I'm sure there's someone in a parking lot at Comerica Field that has a trunk full of T-shirts that say Gritty Kitties on them. Yeah, they're taking the word back, though.
What, Kitties?
Yeah, they're reclaiming it.
What other groups of people have reclaimed words? You want to go? You want to make a list of the words, not the people?
I can after the break.
During a break, you should.
During the break, I will.
But not on air.
I'll bring up more. On.
So the Gritty Kitties are one game away from making the ALCS. So is it less embarrassing now if they take out the Guardians?
I think they should win the series, but I don't want them to make the World Series. I think that's where I land on my...
So you would rather see the Royals or the Yankees?
Yes. Well, not the Yankees.
Yeah. If the Royals don't win the series, then the Tigers need to make the World Series.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But I just like purely like in a vacuum, not considering that them not making the World Series would mean the Yankees make the World Series. I think it's a little bit of you don't want to lose to like straight punks, but then you also don't really want to lose to like the eventual champion.
For the second year in a row?
Yeah. Because I a lot of people do that, and I never get that.
They are made to feel better by the fact that the team they lost to went on to win it all.
Yeah, you don't get a trophy for that. No one cares.
And no one's going to really remember you.
No one cares.
Just because you happen to lose to them on their path, particularly if you lose to them early.
Like, yeah.
And it wasn't even a compelling series. They beat you down like, at home.
Last year, 2023, like that is a more compelling reason to be like, I get being like, well, if they would have beat the Rangers, then they like you can kind of count that as a like we're that close where we lost to the eventual champions, and it's like, yeah, you probably would have been super favored in the World Series. It's the same thing with the 2018 Rockets too, where it's like, yeah, if you would have won Game 7, you probably would have won the championship.
Yeah, Rocket fans comfort themselves with that. But no one else thinks about it.
No one else thinks about it. B, you can't do that when you lose in the wild card round.
No, in something that's been around since 2020.
Yeah, both of the other examples I made were in the ALCS and the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
You can't do that. Like the 2019 Houston Texans can't go, well, we lost to the eventual champion Chiefs. If we would have hung on to that lead that we blew in the first half, then, maybe we're lifting the trophy. You can't do that.
No. You're deluding yourselves. And yes, in this case, the Tigers would have to go, or excuse me, the Gritty Kitties would have to go on to win three more series to win the World Series. So you are a distant memory if they do win the World Series. It'll be in their year-end wrap-up video.
Yeah.
But that's about it as far as people remembering that they went through the Astros.
It'll be on like the social media graphic that gets tweeted out, like the Grim Reaper thing with the three doors.
Sure.
Like you'll be on that. Maybe, actually. Probably not, because it's only three doors.
True. You might
be the first cut.
Your logo might be on a blood splatter someplace as they add on, but as far as being on the doors, no, it's not going to be the case. So the Astros season ends in relative disappointment, and people won't remember it very well, but you do get another AL West title. So I guess that will go down in history. We'll come back in hour two. We'll get to more Texan sound. And we'll see what's happening on the practice field because they should be wrapping up here. And we'll get some news on who's practicing and who isn't, because the injury report was kind of littered with guys that would be contributors, at least yesterday's practice report. We'll see if that changes today, because Thursday is that day. So we'll get to that and more in hour two. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.